passengers flying with Global Air Force are now boarding at Gate 1.
I mean, I want to lay hands on the sick. I mean, Jesus laid hands on the sick and they recovered. He cast out demons. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing and hear my Father speaking. My goal is to be like Jesus. We're to imitate Christ, the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to train others how to hear, how to see, how to lay hands on the sick.
Now, here's your host, Dr. James F. Rowe.
Praise God, it is another beautiful day. Today I have an interesting guest. He was a self-proclaimed Pharisee. Now, if you've read your Bible, you found that religious group that was in charge of the religious beliefs, the church of the day, they were very contentious with Jesus, and they preferred their tradition, their oral tradition, over the written word of God, as I understand it. I always wanted to meet a Pharisee. I didn't want to argue with them, but today we are going to meet a former Pharisee, thank the Lord, and he's changed so. Today, he is a mega source of Christian books and training and Christian mentoring. He's the founder of Communion with God Ministries, and he's the leader and founder with his wife, Patty, of Christian Leadership University. Who else would I be talking about except Dr. Mark Verkler? Now, Dr. Verkler and Patty Verkler have written many how-to books for spirit-anointed living. And I want you to meet him today. I'm going to address his book today, Am I Being Deceived? Here he is, Dr. Mark Verkler.
Well, Jim, thank you for the introduction. And I do agree, I definitely was a Pharisee. I definitely am converted. You know, I got saved when I was 15 years of age in a very conservative, fundamentalist church, you know, and then they believed the Bible, which was great, and I had a deep love for the Bible, and as I began to study the Bible, I noticed people in the Bible had encounters with God. I mean, they had dreams, they had visions, they laid hands on the sick, they cast out demons, they did all sorts of stuff which our church wasn't doing, and so I asked them about it, and they said, well, we don't do that today, and I said, yeah, but I sure would like to. I wish I lived in the day when they did, and they assured me that we were in a different dispensation and that kind of stuff doesn't happen anymore today. Mm. Well, my heart couldn't accept that answer. And I kept pursuing the Holy Spirit. After 10 years of pursuing the Holy Spirit, the Lord did give me a tremendous breakthrough. I learned how to hear His voice and how to see vision and how to interpret dreams. And I was very excited because it was a transition in my life. And as I began to write about that, then people said, well, gee, don't you think you have some New Age tendencies here? And I said, well, what do you mean? They said, well, because New Agers, they see vision, and they visualize, and they picture, and they get dream interpretation. And I said, well, yeah, but that doesn't bother me. I said, they're the counterfeit. We're the real, you know. And and people had a hard time wrapping their head around that and just understanding that there is a difference between the real and the counterfeit and what that difference is. So we ended up writing this book to try to help anyone who was interested in being helped just to think through the process of what is the counterfeit and what is the real.
You make some clear points in there. That's what excites me so much about your writing. It gives definition to some of our thinking. Let's go on with that. What's in this book?
Well, in the book, I decided we ought to explore the real first. What does the Bible say? What does Christianity say about any one of these topics that's controversial? So we'll take vision or visualization or imagination or picturing or dreams, which are all different uses of the eyes of our heart. And, you know, on one hand, we say, well, a picture is worth 1,000 words, so our culture believes pictures are very powerful. But on the other hand, my church would have no teaching on pictures or no teaching on vision or no teaching on dream interpretation at all. So, you know, we tend to believe two things. We believe a picture is worth 1,000 words, and yet we won't teach or talk about it. So what we did was we would take a topic like that. I mean, we took about maybe 15, 20 topics in the book. And we said, okay, what does the Bible teach about vision in the eyes of your heart? Let's explore that in depth, and then let's take a look and see what New Agers teach about that and how it's different from what the Bible teaches.
Mm-hmm.
And just to top it off, it might not hurt if we just checked out what Pharisees believe about it, because we might have two counterfeits here, not just one. We have the real, which is Christianity. We have the New Age, which I do believe is a counterfeit, because they do not come to Jesus. They do not come to the Bible. They do not go through Jesus to Almighty God, and I do, and I believe you should. But then we have Pharisees, and they can tend to believe, hey, I think we'll skip vision altogether. You know, we won't even explore the realm of the Spirit, and we'll just go with biblical law, and we'll be legalists. And so we explore both of those two counterfeits, and we hold them both up next to Christianity, and we explain the difference between the three different groups, and say, which group do you want to be in? And we suggest you want to be in the Christian group.
Okay, mm-hmm. And we now see you started as a Pharisee, and well, these people had a lot of religious training, and they tried to adhere what they believed.
Well, you know, that's exactly right. And it's interesting to me that Paul, the Apostle Paul, when he came out of Bible school, he was one of the best trained people of his day. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, you know. As to the law, he was zealous, you know, he's perfect. But yet he was killing Christians. And he thought he was doing God a favor, and God had to meet him on the Damascus Road when he was out trying to kill some more Christians, and he gave him a vision. You know, he opened the eyes of his heart, allowed him to see, you know, a vision and hear God speak correctly to his heart, which is stuff you don't really learn in Bible school. He didn't learn in Bible school. And he went blind for 3 days, and he repented, and a person laid hands on him, and he got healed. And then he went away to the Arabian wilderness and spent 3 years there, saying, God, where did I go wrong? And he came back out of the Arabian wilderness with a whole new view. He talked about something called true knowledge, and he put it in opposition to knowledge. And he said, true knowledge is what it's all about, because it's revelation-based learning. It comes from the Spirit to your heart and then to your mind. And then he commented on the knowledge he got in Bible school. He does this in third chapter of Colossians, for first 10 verses. He said, you know, what I was taught was really dung, and the people who taught it to me were dogs. And I said, whoa.
Whoa.
Oh, these are your Bible school instructors who taught you Scripture, and you're going to call it dung?
He's going to lose his degree.
Well, you know, exactly. You know, and the reason he was so against it is because it was not revelation-based learning. It was reasoned-based learning. It was theology without the Holy Spirit. And if you think about the people who showed up at the birth of Jesus, you know, here God is doing a wonderful new thing in the world. And do any Bible school students show up and notice it and see it and participate and celebrate the birth of Jesus? Not really.
No.
I mean, the people who showed up were some wise men, which they were people who were able to see visions. They saw some angels, and they could hear him sing. So the eyes and ears of their heart are open so they can have direct spirit encounter. So shepherds, you know, who could have spirit encounter, they showed up at Jesus' birth. Some wise men who could read the greatness of God in the stars, in the creation that he's built, because the Bible declares his creation, declares his glory, and they were able to see that and come. So a wise man came to his birth. So seers came to his birth, wise men came to his birth, and Simeon, who was a prophet, who was a man of deep prayer, he showed up and he prophesied over him when Jesus was taken to the temple. Those are the three groups that showed up and saw what God was doing, celebrated what God was doing, participated in what God was doing, and the people who should have shown up, the Bible school students, none of them showed up. You see, and I was one of those Pharisees. I was against anything of the Spirit, anything that God was doing, because I was trained to be against. I was trained to fear tongue speaking. I was trained to fear casting out demons, and I was trained to mock out people who had dreams and visions, and I did all of that. And man, there came a day when I needed to repent, just like Paul did, and said, Lord, man, I'm sorry. And from now on, I'm going to pursue using the eyes of my heart. I'm going to look up every single verse in the Bible and see what you say about how to use the eyes of my heart. And he's got a lot to say. I mean, he's got hundreds of verses on it, and on dreams, 50 dreams in the Bible, and one-third of the Bible comes from dreams. So I began to use the eyes of my heart. I began to see vision daily, all the time. I began to hear God's voice all the time. And And then I began to teach other people, hey, you can do this. You don't have to be locked into a theology about a God who lives, you know, a million miles away. Because the Bible says that God is Emmanuel. He's God with you. He's right there with you. And you can look at, you can see him. Because the Bible clearly says, fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You can pray for the eyes of your heart to be enlightened. Paul prayed that. Ephesians 1:17, I pray that the eyes of my heart would be enlightened. So I say, hey, when you're reading the Bible, pray for God to give you enlightenment and have a direct encounter with God, not just a theology about him. I mean, the disciples in the Emmaus Road, they had a direct encounter with God. I mean, Jesus opened the scriptures to them. And they said, were not our hearts burning within us? Well, he opened the scripture. Well, this is way beyond a theology about a God. This is a living encounter. So every time I read the Bible, I pray for, I say, Lord, open the eyes of my heart and let revelation burn and transform me from the inside out. So it's not a head-based thing. It's not Bible study as much as it is Bible meditation. Because what the Bible really commands is meditate on my word. So to meditate is to roll it around, to pray about it. Even the word imagine is part of the Hebrew definition to meditate. So I'll imagine the picture. I'll imagine the scene. There's Jesus on the seaside with the disciples talking. I read the story. I imagine it. And that's not a New Age technique. That's part of biblical meditation. And so what we want to do is we want to teach the church how to use the eyes of their heart. We say, come on, why don't you come with us? And we'll have you go through a whole bunch of verses of Scripture. We'll look up what the Bible says about using the eyes of your heart. And we'll teach you to become like the prophets and the seers. We'll teach you to become like Paul, who humbled himself and learned to see vision and hear God's voice. And we can teach all of you, we can teach 100% of our readers how to do that, how to see vision and how to hear God's voice. So they step into a living encounter with the living God and not simply a theology about a God.
So what you're saying is we can hear God's voice and visions and dreams and that come from him. I like what the Bible says. In fact, it was Jesus' commentary, my sheep know my voice. And, well, God has never stopped talking, even when Jesus ascended into heaven, or when the church was founded, or when all the apostles died, or when they put that black leather cover on the back of the Bible. God is still speaking all the time. I think the question today in many of people's minds and hearts is, what does his voice sound like? How do I hear God's voice? Now, that's a good part of your ministry, how to hear God's voice. Tell us more, Mark.
You know, I mean, I was a sheep for 10 years and did not identify his voice within me. I mean, I was listening for like a booming bass voice, and there wasn't any kind of a voice. It was just thoughts. And finally, during that year, 1979, when I felt led to take a year of my life to learn to hear his voice, here's what he taught me about his voice. God's voice sounds like spontaneous thoughts that light upon your mind, particularly while your eyes are fixed on Jesus. And every one of your listeners has had the experience of driving on the road in their car, or walking and having a thought come to them to pray for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And every single one of them felt that was the voice of God telling them to pray for that person. And I agree. And so my question is, well, what did his voice sound like in that situation? Was it a booming bass voice, or was it just simply a spontaneous thought that lit upon your mind? And people will say, hey, it was a spontaneous thought. And I said, you're right. And that's the way God's voice comes most of the time, as spontaneous thoughts. So if you want to hear God's voice, here's what you do. We just teach in our book on the four keys to hearing God's voice, we teach four simple things. We teach quiet yourself down, and then fix your eyes on Jesus. Take the eyes of your heart and see Jesus present with you, because the Bible says he's Emmanuel, God with you. So don't just think it, see it. You got a picture's worth a thousand words. Go ahead, step into a picture. Now, Jesus was big on pictures. Without a parable, he taught them not. He's using pictures all the time, so we should use pictures. So quiet yourself down, picture Jesus there with you. Ask him a question. Say, Lord, do you love me? Lord, how do you see me? Lord, what do you want to say to me? And then just tune to flowing thoughts, because his voice is going to come back as flowing thoughts. Because the Bible says, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This he spoke concerning the Spirit. So when I want to tune to the voice of the Holy Spirit within me, I tune to flow. That's John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. So I quiet myself down, fix my eyes on Jesus, ask him a question, tune to flow, and then I write out the flow of thoughts that come to me. God says to Habakkuk, he says, inscribe the vision, Habakkuk 2, verses 1 and 2. He says, get your pencil out and begin to write down the vision, the flow of pictures and the flow of thoughts that come to me. And in Revelation 1, 9 to 11, John does the same thing. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So he's quieted himself down. And I heard a voice behind me, which is that spontaneous flow of thoughts. I heard a voice behind me saying, write in a book, which of course is a journaling thing, write in a book what you see, which is vision. So, and then he writes 22 chapters. 22 chapters of a guy who's in the Spirit, stays in the Spirit, writes 22 chapters. And so John's doing all four of those keys. He's quieting himself down, he's fixing his eyes on the Lord, he's tuning to flow, and he's writing. And I say to people, look, if you'll do those four things, all four at one time in your morning devotional time, you'll find that you can hear the voice of God and you can see vision.
The church that I was attending for a number of years, people used to stand up and give their testimony. And one testimony was common. God spoke to me 20 years ago, and told me to do this. And of course, he hasn't said anything since then. How can they live? Wow, this is wonderful. Praise God. Okay, go on.
And the reason, it's tragic. I mean, what you just shared is so true and so tragic because no one has really taught clearly how to hear God's voice. The church about 800 years ago or so entered into what's called scholasticism, and it was Thomas Aquinas who was a forerunner who brought the church into that. He laid out a very theological rendition of Christianity, and he wrote many, many books, and the church adopted his approach, which was theological and heady. And it did not involve the Holy Spirit. And so then at the end of his life, just like 3 months before he died, the Lord gave him a triple dream experience. He had three dreams in a row. And here's his comment. He said, everything that I have written so far is as straw, and I now await the end of my life. And I just, but yet we took what he thought was straw and we made it the center of Christianity, a scholastic, rational approach. And in the Bible, that's not what it is. The whole Bible is full of people seeing vision, hearing God's voice from Genesis to Revelation. I mean, the book of Genesis, Abraham, God gives him a vision of the stars of the sky and says, you're going to have that many kids. And God speaks to him with a promise. You're going to have that many kids. So you have vision and the voice of God in Genesis. And if you go to the other end of the Bible, Revelation, it's 22 chapters of vision and the voice of God. And from cover to cover, it's vision and it's a direct encounter with a living God. And I just said, I'm hungry to live Scripture. I'm not satisfied just studying it. I want to experience what these people experienced. And there's many, many people who want that. And one of the reasons the New Age movement is as large as it is because Christians who want a living encounter with a living God aren't being offered it in a vast number of churches. They're just being offered a theology. And so because they want a real spiritual experience, they have to go outside the church to get it, and that's tragic. I mean, that's a sin on the behalf of the church. They need to repent and for driving people away from God, and they need to start offering living encounters. We lay our material out as three-month courses so you can have a home group or a Sunday school class, which is a three-month course, which is where you learn to have a certain kind of living encounter with a living God. I mean, in our course on four keys to hearing God's voice, we're going to teach everyone in the group how to hear God's voice, how to see vision, how to journal. In our three-month course on dream interpretation, we're going to teach everyone in the group how to receive dreams, interpret the symbolism, and receive divine counsel through dreams. We have courses on healing, and we have courses on activating the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we just go into area after area of Christian spirituality and say, we'll give you 3 months of training, and you can do it on your own, or you can do it better yet in a group, Sunday school class, home group, and you can step into one more aspect of biblical Christianity, one more thing that you saw in Scripture. You can begin to live and do that yourself. And so that's what we do. That's our passion, is to provide that kind of training curriculum, put it into people's hands so that they can take steps forward in the Spirit.
I can see your heart is in mentoring believers, and we need it. We need mentors. And I love it. I just love hearing you. In fact, it's more fun to listen to you than read your books.
Well, thank you for that. I was hungry for a mentor myself for many, many years, and I asked people, how do you hear God's voice? And And no one could really mentor me. They said, well, you just know that you know. And I said, no, I don't know. You're not helping me. You know, and my heart was broken because I couldn't find a mentor. And I am a teacher in the body of Christ, so my passion is to pass on what God has taught me. And I'm very practical. I'm very biblical, very logical, but yet I have a passion for the Spirit. So we just combine those, and we've written about 50 books now, and we're writing a lot more because we... That's what God has called us and asked us to do. And we'll provide a mentor. I mean, the book is a mentor. The CD and DVD set is a mentor. If you would like it to hire a personal spiritual coach for $1 a day, we offer that from our ministry website. So you can have a mentor you can email and talk to, you know. And if you want to take it as a college course, we offer that from our website, too. And we'll give you a college instructor. And to get a passing grade, that will mean we have forced you to internalize the principles and be changed by them. So... we're all about mentoring and letting people take steps forward in their Christian life.
And that's our Communion with God Ministries. That's what you call your ministry. And you have a university, too.
We do. It's called Christian Leadership University. From our website, our Communion with God Ministries website, which is cwgministries.org. From that website, you can go to the university website also. So we have two very large websites that you can spend many days just working through, and there's a lot of free stuff on the Communion with God Ministries website, free books you can download. I do blogging a couple times a week. We have 5 different bloggers currently. There's just a lot of really good stuff happening there all the time.
Now, people in China or in India, how would they get this material?
If they go to the free section tab, they're going to find stuff translated into 40 different languages. We have a lot of stuff in Chinese, and what's in Chinese is all free. They can download it free directly to, and we have me working through a translator, so they can download that and hear me teach in their own language, and we have translated copies of our books into Chinese and different Indian dialects, so, and that's all available for free downloading.
Okay, that's good. Doctor, I've had experiences like you. God encounters where I've heard his voice. I've seen visions and had dreams, just like it in Bible, but not everybody agrees with what I'm telling them. The church argument would be with you from the Pharisaical view would be, this is spiritualism you're talking about, some type of spiritualism. That's not true, is it?
No, it's not true. I mean, the person who says that is probably a person who's rejected all the spirit stuff in the Bible. I mean, because if you look in the Bible, you look up the word spirit, you've got between heart and spirit, you have 1,200 verses that talk about heart and spirit, okay? And, you know, I want to live those. I mean, I want to lay hands on the sick. I mean, Jesus laid hands on the sick and they recovered. He cast out demons. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing and hear my Father speaking. My goal is to be like Jesus. We're to imitate Christ, the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to train others how to hear, how to see, how to lay hands on the sick. This last weekend at the seminar in Texas I did, a gentleman was 91 years of age. He came to me and he said, I've got arthritis in both of my knees. I said, well, why don't you sit down? We'll pray for him. He sat down. We laid hands on him. We asked for the love and compassion and power of God to come to heal his knees. We spoke to arthritis. We said, in Jesus' name, be gone. And commanded it to leave, just like, I mean, Jesus would just address the sickness and commanded it to go. And then I said, now why don't you try to walk and move and see if it's any better? And I went and talked to somebody else, and he started walking around. He came back 2 minutes later. He said, all my pain is gone. Well, that was the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit that healed a person. It's not spiritism. It's what Jesus did. It's what the Bible is about. It's living Christianity. It's something worth participating in and being a follower of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the reasons that America is a big mission field is because the church is not offering a power encounter with the living God. And so for young people who are looking for reality, they say, well, there's no reality here. You're just talking a theory about a God. Well, I'm not offering a theory. I'm talking a living encounter with the living God. And when we offer that, people in America will be interested again. But until we offer that, why should they be interested? Who needs theory? I don't need any theory. I need reality in my life.
Proof in the pudding. Proof in the pudding.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. I personally consider when we're out ministering that if we neglect healing or deliverance, then we don't have the complete ministry of Jesus, and we will not be effective because people do need that proof in the pudding. We've heard enough philosophy, enough doctrine, at least enough wrong doctrine.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, every religion offers a theology about a God, but the difference between Christianity and the other religions is that our God lives.
Mm-hmm.
And let's prove it. Let's just prove it by our lifestyle and by our ministry.
Amen and amen.
In our life.
That's right. It'll work.
Yeah.
I thank you, Dr. Berkler. Could you give us a short prayer and for our this great mission field in the United States today?
Amen. Be glad to. Father, we just thank you that we do worship the true and the living God. We thank you that you've drawn us into true Christianity. And Father, I just pray for every listener that you would open the eyes of their heart and open the ears of their heart. Allow them to hear and allow them to see into the spirit realm. And Father, I pray for release of the power of the Holy Spirit, that they may do miracles, they may lay hands on sick and see people recover. They may cast out demons in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, that the name of Jesus may be glorified in our midst and that people's lives may be rescued from the bondage of Satan and set free and entire new lives given to them. So, Father, we ask that, we receive that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Praise God. Okay, my friend, receive that today. Receive that today. Today we have been blessed and honored to be with Dr. Mark Berkler, the founder of Communion with God Ministries. I thank you so much, brother. Will you come back on our program at another time?
Jim, I'd be glad to.
Today we had Dr. Mark Berkler. He was teaching us from one of his books, Am I Being Deceived? Next time we have you, Mark, how about we look into your book, Four Keys to Hearing God's Voice? How's that sound?
That would be great. Love to do that.
God bless.
God bless.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. You can contact Dr. Rome or today's guest by logging on to www.globalairforce.net. Once again, the website is www.globalairforce.net.
Flying with Global Air Force.